The best way to learn to understand spoken Mandarin is to listen as much as you can to engaging content you can make sense of. But what should you listen to and how should you do it? Hello and welcome to the Hacking Chinese podcast. In this week's episode, we are going to talk about listening practice, and we are specifically going to talk about beginner listening practice. But before all the intermediate and advanced learners listening turn this episode off, let me say that most of the things that are true for beginners listening to Mandarin is also true for more advanced students. Listening is, in my opinion, the most important skill to develop, and the earlier you start, the better. So of course, if you're a beginner listening to this, that's great. But if you're an intermediate learner and you have neglected listening, this is the time to stop doing that. So what we're going to do in this episode is to discuss different types of resources for practicing listening ability. And we did something similar last year in October when I published a giant article containing my best recommendations for beginner, intermediate, and advanced students. But that's not what I'm going to do today. So if you're just after some recommendations for your specific level, you can check out that article or episode 115 on the podcast. Instead, I'm going to talk about types of resources and discuss how they can be used. I'm also going to include all kinds of resources, not just free ones, that was the focus of the previous episode and article. And finally, these are specifically aimed at beginners, but like I said, they should work well for more advanced learners as well. So, learning to understand spoken Mandarin is both easy and hard at the same time. It's easy because the solution is rather simple. It's about listening a lot to engaging content you can make sense of, as I said in the introduction. But it's also hard because you need to do this a lot. So developing your listening ability is difficult in the same sense that walking, say, 1,000 miles is difficult, not in the sense that mountain climbing is difficult. That is to say that it's hard because there are so many steps you need to take, not because taking each step is difficult. There is also the practical problem of what you should listen to, because even if it's easy to describe the theory of how you should listen and so on, you still need something to listen to that needs to meet the criteria, and as we shall see, there isn't that much material available that you can do this with, which is a problem. Before we get to the different categories of listening practice that I recommend, let's discuss how to listen first. So what you want is comprehensible input. And at a superficial level, comprehensible input is not a tricky word. Comprehensible means that you can understand it, and input here refers to something that you read or listen to. And of course, since we're talking about listening today, we're talking about spoken Mandarin, either live or recorded. When it comes to understanding, obviously you need to rely on the language that you hear, but you're also allowed to rely on contextual clues, such as body language, images, and things like that. As we shall see, this is often crucial because spoken Mandarin is usually very hard to understand for beginners unless you have this kind of scaffolding. And indeed, if you check the beginner resources that I recommended in the article I mentioned earlier, you will see that most of them have videos because otherwise it really gets very tricky to understand. And speaking of understanding, how much do you need to understand when you listen? Well, it depends on the situation and the purpose of the listening. If you want to be able to learn new words directly from the audio you're listening to without looking things up and studying them explicitly, as it were, you need to understand almost everything. And we're talking about 98-99% here, which means that there should really only be an occasional new word here and there, because then you have a good chance of really understanding that word and learning it from context. And then if you really want to learn it, obviously you have to hear it over and over, preferably in different contexts. But if you understand just, say, 95 or 90%, there's going to be too many new words for you to effectively be able to learn these without actually studying them explicitly. This is called extensive listening and is, of course, related to extensive reading. And the idea here is that you expose yourself to vast amounts of Chinese and then you will gradually be able to absorb new things from the Chinese you listen to. And this is great and it works very well. The only problem is that you will not be able to find listening materials as a beginner that allow you to do extensive listening. If you know, say, 50 words or 100 words, you can't listen for hours and hours of Chinese where you understand almost everything that's being said. Simply because if the person who speaks with you don't know exactly which words you know, there are going to be too many new words for you to cope with. Still, you should try to listen to Chinese where you understand as much as possible unaided, even as a beginner. As we shall see in a bit, there are different ways you can scaffold your listening, but there are limits to how well this works. I should also say that this episode is not meant to be about comprehensible input as such, but there are several articles about this on Hacking Chinese already, and I will make sure to put links to these articles in the description. Okay, so what can you do to understand more? Because as we have seen, the more you understand, the more likely it is that you will learn the things you didn't know when you started listening. So there are certain things that the speaker or producer can do for you. For example, if there is video, you can see their body language, and this can be very helpful for beginners. If I say 我 and point at myself and 你 and point at the camera, you can understand that this means me and you without looking anything up or without translating. This goes for images too, of course, so if we're talking about a Gogo, we can show a picture of a dog, and if we talk about a Mao, we can show a picture of a cat. And this way, we can bypass lots of translation and explanation. We know immediately what we're talking about. Naturally, we can do this to scaffold things so much so you don't actually need language at all. I mean, we do have silent films after all, and they make sense without having any spoken language in them. But even with just a little bit of support, understanding the spoken Chinese you hear will become significantly easier. The problem is that this is not something you can do yourself as a learner, or at least it's fairly hard. I mean, if somebody has created a video for beginners, that's nice, but what if they haven't? What if there's just audio? The best and easiest thing to do is to listen more than once. If you haven't tried this when learning a foreign language, you'll be surprised by how much extra you understand the second time, and then the third time you might understand a few more words, and the fourth time maybe an extra word still. And then you will have understood either everything, or you will find that listening more doesn't lead to more comprehension. This is a great opportunity to evaluate if the audio you're listening to is at the right level. If you understood everything after just listening once, maybe this audio is a little bit easy for you, even though if you're a complete beginner, this might be fine. If you understood everything, or almost everything, after listening many times, this audio is at a perfect level for you, and you should try to find more Chinese listening practice of this kind. If you, after listening many times, still have significant holes in your understanding of what you're listening to, and you feel there are many words you have no idea what they mean, you are listening to something that is too hard for you at the moment. If you are incredibly motivated and really want to listen to this for some other reason, fine, you can do that and you can study and learn these words, but this shouldn't make up the bulk of your listening practice. So, how can you find this type of practice as a beginner? As I've already said, this is rather hard in Chinese because everything tends to be super hard unless it's something that's built specifically for you as an individual. So if your teacher knows exactly which words you have learned previously, they could provide this type of input for you, although this is not easy and requires a lot of practice and training. If you're new to learning foreign languages, or if you have only learned languages that are fairly close to your native language, it's easy to underestimate how hard Chinese listening is as a beginner as soon as you move out of the specific things that you've learned. This is not really the case when you are learning languages related to your own or related to some other language you know. So, for example, I'm currently listening to a French podcast, which also includes occasional Spanish. And I have not studied a word of Spanish, but when I come across something like "Consulte este episodio en YouTube para activar los subtítulos," I can understand what that means without having studied a single word of Spanish. But if you, as a beginner, encountered this in a podcast in Chinese, you wouldn't understand anything except for the word YouTube, of course, because that would probably be said in English. So what I'm saying here is that getting comprehensible input as a beginner in Chinese is very hard. This doesn't mean that it's impossible and that you shouldn't try, but it does mean that for something to be comprehensible, it probably needs to be written for you specifically, or at least for beginners like you in general. Another thing I want to highlight is that your listening practice should, as far as possible, be meaning-focused. And that means that the goal of the listening should be to understand what somebody says. I know, this sounds obvious because that's what people think that listening is. It's listening to what someone says and trying to understand what they're saying. But this is not actually how listening works in most classrooms around the world. If you think back to when you learned languages in school, you will notice that you probably didn't only listen for the purpose of understanding. For example, if your teacher gives a number of example sentences for a grammar pattern, the goal was to practice the grammar pattern, not understand the meaning of the sentences. Or if you're listening to the recording of a text you've just worked with, you are not trying to understand what it means because you already know what it means, you're just trying to see what it sounds like. And this is different. The same goes for scripted dialogues, most drills, and also, of course, if you ask questions to which you already know the answer. If you want to know more about meaning-focused input, that is one of Paul Nation's four strands, which we discussed in detail in episode 94. So we've talked a little bit about scaffolding that is good, such as body language or video or images. But there are also some types of scaffolding that isn't good because it removes the focus from the language itself, and that would be translation or explanations in English. This is a very common problem in podcasts for beginners, where they might have a dialogue where a few people say a few things, usually just a few words each, and you have a few exchanges back and forth, and then they spend 10 minutes dissecting this in English. If they repeat the dialogue a few times, maybe you get up to 1 minute of Chinese, and then you have 9 minutes of English. And the problem here is that this only counts as 1 minute of listening practice, not 10. So let's say you want to build up to 100 hours of listening. That means that you now need to spend 1,000 hours listening to actually get those 100 hours of listening to Chinese. Because, of course, it goes without saying, only listening to Chinese will improve your Chinese listening ability. If you check out the beginner resources that I recommended in that other article, you can see that I tried really hard to find resources that did not rely on English much, or if they did, to a minimum. Okay, we are now ready to go into the 8 different types of Chinese listening practice for beginners. And the first one is rather obvious because I've mentioned it many times now, and that is video clips produced for beginners. And now I don't mean videos where somebody explains in English the difference between bu and mei, for example. I mean videos where somebody speaks only Chinese or almost only Chinese and uses the video format to make you understand what they're talking about, even though you might not know all the words. If you want to check out a few channels that I like, you can check Slow and Clear Chinese, Mandarin Click, and Bumpy Chinese. And I've put links to these in the article on Hacking Chinese, so you can check them out. I won't say more about video clips because we've talked about that enough in this episode, so let's move on to number 2. This is graded reader audio. So a graded reader is a book written for beginners or written for a specific level of proficiency, and usually this means beginners in Chinese. So for example, there are graded readers aiming for the level of 150 words or 300 words or 600 words, and these usually come with audio. So even though they are called graded readers, they could also be graded listeners, which is what I'm after here. Before you go off and purchase these with the intention of using them for listening practice, do note that not all graded readers have audio, and that there might also be different versions of a book, with some versions having the audio and others not. So do make sure you get the audio before you purchase. The good thing with graded readers, and this is true for both listening and reading, is that they don't get harder the more you read. Indeed, they become easier the more you read and listen, because the author doesn't try to stuff as many new words as possible into each sentence, which is what happens in most textbooks. That means that a story will be difficult in the beginning because, well, the environment is new, the characters are new, everything is new, but once you get to know these things and you get into it, listening becomes easier. Graded listeners are also great because they are very long compared to anything else you can find in the listening department. Sometimes it's good to focus on bite-sized chunks because they are not so intimidating, but if you're trying to build up to those 100 hours of listening in your first semester or something like that, you don't really want to listen to 2-minute clips of Chinese because you need to do that so many times to get to even an hour, and it gets tedious very quickly to switch to a new dialogue every 30 seconds or so. There are many great graded reader series out there, and one of them is Mandarin Companion, another is Chinese Breeze. We also have Sinolingua Rainbow Bridge, And there are a bunch of others that I've put links to in the article on Hacking Chinese. Moving on to number three, which is textbook audio. And yes, I am serious here, but I want you to use the audio in a way that you probably haven't thought about, or at least that most people don't do naturally. Textbooks are bad for listening practice, well, and indeed reading practice, because they keep getting more and more difficult the further into them you get, meaning that it's always hard. This means that you will rarely get comprehensible input by listening to the texts in your textbook, because they are too hard. They contain new words, new grammar that the authors think you ought to learn. Instead, I want you to get hold of the audio for multiple textbooks, and not in the same series. I want you to get level one in, say, five different series. So rather than finishing one textbook and moving on to the next level, you finish, say, five chapters in one textbook. You probably do that in class, or you can work through those chapters on your own. And then you move to the second beginner textbook and do the same thing. You go through chapters 1 to 5. And then you do this with the third textbook, again, chapters 1 to 5. And these should get progressively easier, because even though they will cover slightly different things, some things, you know, you have to teach some things for beginners, so the early chapters will be fairly similar in these books, which means that towards the end, you will get input which is new to you and relate to the things you have learned and which is comprehensible. I'm afraid that the audio in most textbooks isn't very engaging and compelling, but there is not much we can do about that. When it comes to recommendations for specific textbooks, it doesn't really matter. If you find one at your library and it has audio, that's great. If you find something free online that has audio, use that. But the big ones are Integrated Chinese, New Chinese Practical Reader, A Course in Contemporary Chinese, Practical Audiovisual Chinese, and Easy Steps to Chinese. Those were just a few examples, and there are hundreds of textbooks out there you can try. Continuing with number four, text to speech. If you haven't tried any speech synthesization recently, you should do that, because they've become incredibly good in recent years. When I started learning Chinese in 2007, text-to-speech was horrible and it generated so many errors and the audio was so bad that it would have been a crime to use it to teach Chinese. While I would still use human recorded audio for teaching purposes, for pronunciation and so on, in general, text-to-speech has become so good that if we're dealing with words or sentences, it usually works rather well, and you can definitely use this for listening practice. It is still going to be incorrect sometimes, or weird, but then again, so will most native speakers you listen to as well. The reason I recommend it here is that you can turn anything you have in written Chinese into a listening opportunity if you activate, say, an extension in your browser, or if you activate a software on your phone or download a dedicated program on your computer. There are many ways of doing this and also many services, and I will probably write a roundup of these at some point, but for now you can just search for text-to-speech and then your operating system and you will find lots of solutions, many of them actually for free. Next up is number five, voice messaging. And this is something we covered in episode 60, so I will be brief here. Voice messaging here simply refers to the function in most chat apps where you can record a message and then send it. The other person can listen and then respond at their leisure. You could in theory do this live where you wait for a message, listen to it, send the message back and so on, but you could also do it asynchronously as you would with normal text. So you record something, the other person listens when they have time, maybe an hour later you get a response, you get the time to think about your response and so on. Now, this is relevant for listening purposes because you can play these messages as many times as you want. So if you're in a conversation live, you have to understand everything at once, or you have to ask people to repeat themselves and so on. And that is good, you should do that, and you should learn the strategies necessary to navigate such conversations, but it can sometimes be very nice to be able to listen to a message 10 times before you ask these questions, and this is excellent for learning practice. If it's a conversation with a tutor, language exchange partner, or a friend, it is definitely meaning-focused, and it's probably related to something you care about or a person you care about, so that's great. But like I said, I spent episode 60 extolling the virtues of voice messaging, so check that out if you are interested. Let's continue with number six, which is audio courses for learning Chinese. In this category, we have everything from fairly low-quality learn Chinese in your car types of courses to very well-structured ones that are mostly reliant on audio. Naturally, some of these also have a reading and writing part, but the important bit is that there are certain bits which are meant to be listened to, or in some cases, this is the main point. While I have checked some of these out, and I have also talked to many students who have used these courses, I have yet to do a deep dive into them myself, and let alone write some kind of overview of the various courses on offer. But just to mention a few examples, you can check out Pimsleur, Assimil, or Glossika. If you have experience using these courses yourself and would like to share your experience with me, it would be great if you headed over to the article on Hacking Chinese and left a comment, or if you got in touch with me in some other way. Next up is number 7, which is reading apps with audio recordings. And this is a little bit similar to the graded readers we talked about earlier. There are many apps that focus on teaching you to read, such as Duo Chinese, The Chairman's Bow, and Wordswing. And these all have audio recordings, so you can listen to something while you read. And for this purpose, of course, we're interested in the listening, so you should listen before you read. In the case of Wordswing, there is actually a listen-only mode, where you have an interface where the characters are not shown, so you can listen only, and then only once you've done that, you can check the text if you want to. Again, as usual, I've provided links to these in the written article on Hacking Chinese. The final category is vocabulary apps, and this might not sound like the best source of listening practice, and indeed these apps don't provide you with comprehensible input, but I do want to mention them because they can be useful for other things, such as helping you sort out the initials, finals, and tones of the language. And these apps, at least the premium ones, usually have manually recorded audio rather than synthesized audio, which is important here. So, for example, in Pleco, you can purchase an add-on where you get most of the words in the dictionaries read aloud for you. And I'm not saying you should use this primarily as listening practice, but if you're going to look things up and if you're going to use a dictionary or a flashcard app, you might as well have one that also tells you how these things are pronounced, so you hear the sounds and tones all the time. Scritter also has a huge library of manually recorded audio that comes with the subscription, but for most other alternatives, you have to rely on synthesized audio. So for example, in Anki, which is completely free, you can generate audio for your words and sentences and then use them for listening practice. A slight warning here though for individual syllables. Let's say you were to create all possible syllables with different tones and so on, and then use them to try to practice tones. There are some oddities and irregularities when these text-to-speech engines work on single syllables. That's not what they are meant to do primarily, and you can't really rely on this as much as you can when it comes to words and sentences. This is of course why I, in my pronunciation course, use manually recorded audio from both a male and a female speaker to create flashcards that you can use to practice these things. I would not rely on text-to-speech here. Okay, that concludes our discussion of beginner listening practice in Chinese, at least for now. The main takeaway should be that you should listen as much as you can to engaging audio and make sure you understand as much as possible. There is, of course, more to say about this. How do you find the time? How do you encourage yourself to listen more? And how do you deal with all the practical problems and so on? But these are things that I've covered in other episodes and articles. And again, I put links to these in the description. But I also urge you to head over to hackingchinese.com and check out the category page for listening, where I collect all the articles about this topic. So, what do you think? Have you found some beginner-friendly listening material that I have left out here, maybe? Please head over to the article and leave a comment. Thank you for tuning in to the Hacking Chinese podcast. If you like this episode, please share it. More information and inspiration about learning and teaching Chinese can be found at hackingchinese.com. See you in the next episode, and until then, good luck with your studies.